Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Appreciate you being here today. We'll be live in Cape May on Friday, and this is our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, where we will be live on Friday, this coming Friday. One of our guests will be Congressman Jeff Van Drew. He'll be on at 3:30. The show will be there live 3 to 7 p.m. at the Grand Hotel. He wrote a piece recently on FoxNews.com. I understand why RFK Jr. left the Democratic Party. Remember, he was a Democrat. He switched parties in 2020. And he says Democrats aren't what they used to be. We'll talk more about this with him in person on Friday, along with the latest on the windmills. The windmill company announcing that they are, at least for now, putting the project on a temporary hold in New Jersey. Which, by the way, if you're in New Jersey right now, your rates, your electric rates have been going through the roof. And there's a number of lawmakers calling for an investigation into the Board of Public Utilities in New Jersey for all these rate hikes that people are seeing. Just out of the blue, their electric bills have just been going through the roof. And I know, you know, the left's going to turn around and say it's because of racist air conditioning. Oh, yeah, no, there's a story about that today, too, about air conditioning, which saves lives. Air conditioning is one of the greatest inventions ever. But there's a story about air conditioning, too, and how air conditioning is something that people should give up. You know, for the good of the environment, give it up. You see these mosquito, they're warning about all these mosquito viruses and mosquito deaths and Eastern equine virus and all the other. Well, part of the way you can avoid all that is to ensure you can shut your windows at night because you have air conditioning when it's really, really hot out. Also, DDT works quite well, but they don't let us use that either. But anyway, air conditioning has saved a lot of lives. It's been one of the greatest inventions, life-saving inventions. But as usual, there's always the move by people to get rid of it, all in the name of saving Mother, birthing person Earth. Birthing person Earth, got to make sure I say that correctly. I don't want to upset Justin Trudeau, so we'll say that. Here is Kamala Harris, a new word salad. This is in New Hampshire today, where apparently they were busing people in. A local radio host up in New Hampshire was saying that there were many school buses they found going in and out of the event today. I think it may have been as high as 12, that they were busing people to the event. If that's the case, wow. And you can tell that Kamala Harris does not nearly have the support that people think she does. There's at least one video on social media showing 12 different big yellow buses leaving Kamala Harris's event in New Hampshire. So you don't have to bus people in for a Trump event, that's for damn sure. And the Trump War Room put that video out on social media. So there you go. 12 buses bringing people in and out of Trump events. Or excuse me, Kamala Harris events. You don't see that at Trump events. You see lines of people waiting to get in, but you certainly do not see people having to be bused in. And where are the buses coming from? According to Stephen Chung, who is one of the Trump spokespeople, he said the Kamala Harris campaign has told people at the rally they can't leave because the buses they use to bus people in from out of state are not operational for another 30 minutes. The announcement just came over the speakers at the rally, and the crowd, already waiting in line, cried, "No!" So there you go. It's a situation where you just simply do not have the grassroots support. The grassroots support. Here's a little bit of a word salad from her speech today in New Hampshire. Part of the glue of the fabric. Anyway, cut one.
You are civic leaders. You are community leaders. You are mentors. You hire locally. You believe in the community, and you're part of the glue of the fabric that holds communities together.
Are you the glue of the fabric? The glue of the fabric? Is that what she said?
That is what she said.
Isn't the glue used on the fabric hold something together?
Not at Kamala rallies.
The glue of the fabric. I just want to make sure I'm understanding that correctly. Oh, by the way, I don't like bragging about ratings. It's not my thing. I don't like doing it, but I'm going to make an exception now for one reason. You want to know what that reason is?
I would like to know, yes.
Okay. I'm taking this very. I have three reasons. It's not to brag. Three reasons. I'm gonna make an exception and brag about ratings for just a moment. But it's not to brag. Okay. Reason number one: time is precious and valuable. You spend it on this show. You give us your time. I appreciate it. We appreciate it. Thank you. You can never get your time back. Time is the thief I would rob. Love that line. So you know that you're making a good investment. Number two, the ratings would not be possible without you listening to this show. Because as talented as I am, as hard as we work, as hard as Matt DeSantis works to do prep that I don't read, none of it matters if you don't listen to the show. All right? And number three, because the last guy who was local in Afternoon Drive was a total D-bag. And I'm happy that I beat him once and for all. Beat him like a bloody pulp.
I heard that last guy was real difficult to work for.
He was a jerk. He was an egotistical jerk, but he did have fantastic hair. Am I right?
Great hair, yeah. What was his name again? I can't remember.
I don't remember his name. I wish I could. I know it's not Buzz Bissinger. Definitely not that. I know it's not Dick Morris. And then Hannity was in there for a little while. The guy between those guys.
I can't think of what his name
was.
That was
a jerk. Well, I'm happy to know that we're beating him like a drum. Highest ratings in the Afternoon Drive on WPHT history.
That's pretty good. Doesn't get any better than that.
Doesn't get better than that. Suck it, Zioli. What?
Oh, that was the last guy.
Oh, that's right. That was the last guy. Damn it. Well, I beat myself.
Ew, don't say that.
That does not sound good at all. Because the last time the highest ratings were in Afternoon Drive was the last time I was in Afternoons. So we beat that. Anyway, so that's good news. So there you go. Well done, Matt DeSantis.
I didn't really do much, but congratulations.
You did a lot more than you think. I don't know what, but you did something.
I feel good. I was CC'd on the email, so I'll take credit.
Hey, you're on the email.
Yeah,
that's huge.
That's good.
They even know your email address.
That's good to know.
That's a big darn deal right there, if you ask me. A big darn deal. Highest ratings in Afternoon in station history. I'll take that. I mean, that can't be right.
Ever.
That can't be right.
Big podcast numbers, too, by the way.
Big podcast numbers.
By the way, if you downloaded yesterday's podcast but heard a show from a week ago, that was my fault. It has been fixed, though, so...
Come on, DeSantis.
All right, I made a mistake.
How do you accidentally load the wrong show and a show from a week and a half ago to boot?
I don't know.
Two weeks ago, almost.
2 weeks old, yeah. I don't know. I must have loaded a million podcasts into our platform, and that was the first time I made that mistake. So, honestly, I think it's a pretty good success rate if you look at it glass half full.
If you call failure experience, sure.
It was one failure in, what, 2.5 years?
I had people tweeting all morning, and of course, you don't get up till 10 a.m., so you couldn't even correct it until sometime around lunchtime.
As soon as I woke up at 11:15 a.m., I fixed the problem, Rich.
Thank you, Matt. I'm glad you got to sleep in. I was up at 6 today because it was back to school day. That was a lot of fun.
Is that sarcasm or was it actually enjoyable?
Back to school was lovely. Getting up at 6 a.m. was fine. made bacon and eggs for the kids, got them all ready for the bus, you know what I mean? Do all that.
That's a good breakfast. Usually parents, don't they just like shove a bowl of cereal in front of the kids and send them on their way?
Yeah, that'll be back tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
The first day you make it special. You take pictures. You make them a nice breakfast. You walk them to the bus stop. You know, by tomorrow, that's all out the window. You know what I mean? Get some Cheerios. I'm going back to bed.
Pop-Tarts.
Yeah, exactly. Pop-Tarts would be a luxury for them. Are you kidding me? They'd love it. That'll be tomorrow. But no, today was good. I made bacon on the skillet. You know what I mean?
Oh, that
flat top grill.
Oh, a lot of smoke, though.
A lot of smoke. And a lot of nitrates. No, I'm just kidding. I use the uncured bacon. Very healthy, I'm told. I don't know, but I'm sure Robert F. Kennedy Jr. would approve.
Oh, that's good.
I think it's certified. They should put his face on things. Certified. Bobby Kennedy approved. You gonna get that mom on who wrote that op-ed?
I did email her. We haven't heard back yet, though. I would love to get her on. The op-ed was very good.
Op-ed was very good.
All about Democrats turning Republican for RFK.
See that? I think he does help. I really do. In Pennsylvania, because he gets how much support? You're the numbers guy.
In Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
I don't know. Why'd you ask? I didn't look at it.
I thought you always... You're a numbers geek with this stuff.
I do.
Look at it.
I haven't looked at the polls recently, though. I know he was polling at about 4 or 5% nationally. And prior to Biden getting out of the race, he was about 13%. So the going theory is that basically what left when Biden left, the support from Kennedy that left when Biden left, all went to Kamala.
Right.
Those were all the Democrat supporters for Kennedy. And what was left, that 4 or 5% that he had in the last poll, is now going to go to Trump, presumably, because those were the Republican-leaning Kennedy supporters.
Okay.
So hopefully he gets a little bit of a boost here.
And we're working on getting him on the show as well.
We are. I would
Excellent.
Love to get it. I've been working on that for about a year. I haven't had much luck, but I'm optimistic.
Well, you did get Tulsi Gabbard for us.
We had Eric Trump.
Eric Trump. Friday, we got some big names. We won't give them away, but...
Yeah, we have potentially two big names.
Potentially two big names.
And Congressman Jeff Van Drew.
And Jeff Van Drew.
We can give that one away, because you already mentioned it.
No, Justin, since you mentioned Pop-Tarts, you got a favorite flavor?
I'm more of a brown sugar cinnamon guy.
Interesting. Hot or cold?
It depends. If my preferred scenario is put it in the toaster for about a minute.
Man, I haven't had a Pop-Tart in years. If I did have one now, I think I'd die. There's so much sugar in those.
Oh, there's
things.
So many weird avant-garde flavors now. You have no idea.
Oh, I saw the s'mores one recently in the store.
Oh, they have like strawberry milkshake. They have Boston cream pie. There's so many weird ones that they just keep releasing.
I'm telling you, it's we don't give our kids Pop-Tarts, and not because I'm like a health nut or anything. We give them donuts and stuff like that. I've never given them one. I'm afraid to introduce that into their lives, because if I do, I feel like it's giving them crack, and they'll never go back. You know,
I've never.
Once you had a Pop-Tart, you never.
I've never had a Pop-Tart, and look at me now, Rich. I think you're doing the right things with a kid. I'm the pinnacle of success.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
It is if you do that. Road Warrior just posted a picture of me beating up myself in the ratings, and it's me in a full cast, complete body cast.
I just saw that photo. That's very funny.
That's very funny. Very good. Well done. Now, listen, I'm just saying, if you know what I mean, Justin? You introduce that into the kids' world, then they always want it.
Yeah, I completely understand that.
And I'm not ashamed of that, but I'm just saying that if this point they don't know what they're missing, it might be a good thing. Until they get to college, they try their first Pop-Tart, and then you become a Pop-Tart addict. You can see them like in the corner, like, give me strawberry. You know what I mean? Give me strawberry.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of Opelka, who was on last week, Opelka recorded some Alexa spots for us. Do we have those?
We do.
All right. So Opelka, because he has nothing better to do with his time today, every day. For that matter, he recorded in response to Alexa putting out, I shouldn't have said her name. Damn it. Sorry if I screwed up your listening experience at home. To that evil surveillance witch in your home that is run by Jeff Bezos. He put out a couple of, he made a little sound bites for us. But Johnny Cook says, and finally something from Johnny, it's not cruel and negative towards the show. Oh man, what a horrible flashback. I was in first grade when Pop-Tarts came out. I was a pioneer, had them every morning. Horrible. A strawberry Pop-Tart had a filling that looked like someone had scribbled on it with a red crayon. Now, I don't know how healthy they are. I don't know if that mom who's supporting Bobby Kennedy because she wants America to be healthy again, if she would approve and give her kids Pop-Tarts. I don't know. Just saying, you know?
There's no way they're healthy.
We could ask her if you get her on the show. No way, right?
No.
We could ask her if DeSantis could get her on the show, Justin, but he's not doing that.
The email.
I sent her an email. Oh, I emailed her.
He's trying his best. Come on.
Don't defend him.
I found the article, Tim. I deserve credit for the find.
You deserve nothing.
What? Give me like 10% credit.
10% credit for reading the New York Post? Sure.
Yeah,
you get credit for reading the New York Post and seeing the article.
I've read the New York Post. I found an interesting article. I brought it to your attention, and I emailed the woman that wrote it. 10% is even low. I should get at least 70, 80%.
Fine. Take whatever you want.
Thank you. I don't care.
I'm so bored of this anyway.
Getting a lot of praise today. I was CC'd on that email. I get 80% credit for attempting to book a guest. This is good.
You're giving yourself credit like I'm beating up myself. The same thing. The same. Frank M. in Tennessee says, the heartiest of congratulations for beating yourself. I couldn't have done it any better. Signed, Jeffrey Toobin. That's very nice.
That's
Thank
disgusting.
You. Frank M. Oh, speaking of CNN, you see little Brian Stelter's back?
I have a montage, actually, for you.
Oh, yes. I am so happy that Brian Stelter's back on CNN. This guy... speaking of Russian collusion, was all over Russia collusion. I mean, he was one of the biggest cheerleaders of Russia collusion, spreading lies on CNN for years. And then he loses his job on CNN. And now he's back. Reliable sources. Little Brian Stelter, who is yet to hit puberty. I thought he took a leave of absence to go hit puberty, like he was going to a clinic because they still could not get it out. You know what I mean? But then he's back. So here you go. Here's, you want to do the, well, first we'll do the Alexa, then I'll do Brian Stelter. So Alexa says that this, or I shouldn't say her name. Amazon says that the differing responses were an error that has been fixed. Of course, it's always the way that these errors happen, affecting Republicans and helping liberals and Democrats. It's always amazing how that happens. Never the other way around. You know, that little communist machine in your house that spies on you and helps you buy cheap crap made in China, it never is the other way around where it comes out and says nice things about Donald Trump. And then they have to redo the error that way. No, no, it's never that. You notice that? Interesting. Jeff Bezos, Amazon, Washington Post, which he also runs, Democracy Dies in Darkness. So Opelka took the time to give us a couple of Amazon pre-recorded responses here. I won't say her name, though. That little communist surveillance witch. I'll call her that from now on. The communist surveillance witch. You have listening to you and will one day rat you out for killing your spouse. Just mark my words for it. Be very careful. You better unplug it first before you kill your spouse. Otherwise, Lexus... going to rat you out.
We endorse that. We want the spouse killers to be ratted out, right?
True. I am anti-spouse killing, for the record. Yeah. I just want to make that point
very clear.
Yes, I want to be crystal clear on that. Don't kill your spouse. All right, so it's the least I can do. Point that out. All right, take a listen.
Rich, Richard, Richie, wake the f*** up. The technology industrial complex is never, as in not ever, going to support Trump.
That's pretty good. Not bad.
That's very good.
Yeah. He's got way too much time on his friggin' hands, doesn't he? No.
Well,
Stunt Brain, Michael Pelka, is a very talented guy. He's very smart, very bright, also very bored. Here's another one from him.
All right, Z.O. Lee, you and your little army have been driving me crazy with these questions. For the record, and for the last time, Bezos has put the kibosh on my political opinions. Sorry, I can't help you. Now be a dutiful conservative and get back to your little radio show.
I understand, because Soros is about to do the same thing to us, so I completely understand what it's like. I get it. Very good. Very talented, isn't he? You really feel the rage coming out, though.
That's very funny.
All right, here's another one from our buddy Michael Pelka.
Yeah, we only have two.
Oh, I have more. I'll send them to you.
Yeah, there's a third one, but it's basically the same as the first one we aired, except without the curse word.
No, we need the curse word. Yeah. We need Alexa getting angry and saucy, as he put it. We'll have more of this for you on Friday at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. I just want to mention, though, that this notion of X being censored in Brazil is a big deal. Look, I hate censorship in every form. I'm never going to be one of those people that goes, but if you're spreading hate speech or but if you're spreading misinformation. No, I am a complete and utter stalwart defender of freedom of speech. I don't know what hate speech is. I don't. And I don't know what disinformation is. I have no idea what it is. I know it's what the government tells me is disinformation. And I know what hate speech is. It's whatever the government deems to be hate speech. Beyond that, I don't know what these things are. I don't know what hate is in terms of language. I don't. I know that what the government tells me. And if the government wants to ban it because they've defined it as hate speech, that's problematic. Now, look, it's easy to go classic hate speech. Like, well, you know, if you say something racist, use the N-word or something like that. But it never ends there. And that's the problem. You keep going down rabbit holes. But also, if that's the case, then if that's hate speech and that should be banned, then what about books that have it, movies that have it, songs that have it? Does all that get banned too? I don't know. I would hope not. But in the ideal of somebody who believes that that's hate speech, well, then, yeah, you got to ban all those things. And that's ridiculous. It's utterly ridiculous. Same thing with misinformation or disinformation. I don't know what those things are. I mean, somebody tells me that eating Pop-Tarts is good for you, and I'm putting that out there. And then somebody else comes around and says, well, no, Pop-Tarts have all these artificial ingredients and red dye number 6 and red dye number 5, whatever it is. And you tell people that's good for you. That's disinformation or misinformation. Well, it's one thing to regulate a food company vis-a-vis the FDA, and another thing to regulate a consumer by saying you can't put out that Pop-Tarts are good for people. Define good. What if I say that they're enjoyable to eat? They're a throwback to my childhood. They make me feel good. Can I say those things or not? I don't know. The government gets to decide. Government decides what is information, what is disinformation, what is misinformation. And that's a very, very innocent example, but is it? If the government decides that you can't say that eating red meat is good for you because of the environment. In fact, if you were to push things like the carnivore diet, for example, are you spreading disinformation? Are you even doing hate speech because you're engaged in speech that could be hurtful to birthing person Earth? You know, the left wants to ban beef. That's their big thing. That's their latest. Kamala Harris said it. She wants to ban cheeseburgers too, right? She wants to ban cheeseburgers. So we joke about Pop-Tarts, but what about beef? I go out there and I say, you know, based on how I've been feeling lately, I've been eating a lot of red meat and I feel great. My cholesterol is down. I've given up carbs. I've lost weight. I feel absolutely great. And then there comes with a link, a warning. This post is disinformation. Red meat is bad. Eating red meat will give you a heart attack and cancer and it's bad for you. Who says? The government says. That's who. So I can't say it? Right. You are not allowed to push those things. And if you want to go to the next example, and this is why I'm so anti the FDA regulating the speech of food companies, because it's the same exact problem. There's somebody right now who loves the idea of, and I'm not saying Bobby Kennedy wants to do this, but of somebody like a Bobby Kennedy coming along and saying, all right, a lot of these food products that we have are unhealthy, so we need to have more truth in labeling. And that's okay. That sounds like a good thing. I believe consumers should have all access to information, no doubt about it. The problem you run into, though, is that if you start going after the marketing and the advertising used by these companies to sell a product, and you start saying, well, now that's misinformation and disinformation. These are very political agendas they have. Food is inherently incredibly political. It absolutely is. One of the most political things out there. And there's a lot of people on the left who would like it to be that you have to say certain things about foods that they've determined can be detrimental to the environment. So now you suddenly turn around and you've sanctioned the government at least telling, say, Tyson Foods or whoever, I don't know, whatever, pick your, or some beef rancher down in Texas. You can't say things, good things about your food. In fact, you need to slap a warning label on there that says this food is bad for the environment, or this food causes cancer, or this food causes heart attacks, or this food, and then you start endorsing taxes on things. The problem is that all those things are backed by agendas, and the agendas change based on who the people are. And the other problem is that once you go down this road of misinformation and disinformation, even just around something that is seemingly innocuous as food, you run into other political agendas around government subsidies. And that's where you get the lobbyists involved, too. And I mentioned this before around corn, for example. You know, the corn lobby, the corn subsidy, and the fact that there's so much high fructose corn syrup in our foods. Well, we subsidize all that. The government subsidizes a lot of different things with foods. So you get very political with that, too. So now you start getting lobbyists involved. You start lobbying the FDA to start slapping stickers on this and stickers on that. You put taxes on things. You give more regulations to this food. You give less regulations to that. You give subsidies in this area, that area. It becomes a big political mess. But you should always, at the very baseline, let people say whatever the hell they want about it. So if I want to go out there and say Pop-Tarts are delicious, I should have the right to do so. But am I spreading disinformation if I say Pop-Tarts are delicious and a great way to start your day? I don't know. I mean, the government will decide that, I guess. Am I spreading disinformation if I say, you know, not only are cheeseburgers delicious, but you eat one without the bread, you feel really good. You think more clearly. My own opinion, of course. Do I have to put that? I have to put like a my own opinion disclaimer at the bottom of it? I don't know. And if I say something like, you know, you see all these people out there who are really obese, it's because they eat a lot of carbs, and you don't want to be obese. It's really unhealthy. Was that hate speech? Because I've just fat shamed somebody. Should I not be allowed to say that either? And it could be disinformation too, because the carb lobby, yeah, whether it's the wheat people or the sugar people or whoever else comes out and says that what I'm saying is disinformation. So now it's the hate speech disinformation combo platter. And so I can't say those things either. I don't know. I guess this is the problem that when the government starts to go down this road of regulating speech, where does it end? Who decides? And then what become the goals of that? There's a story from Reason.com about plastics and how plastics actually are less detrimental to the environment to produce than other forms of storage. And now that's completely taboo. You know, you're not supposed to think anything about plastics is a good idea. Nothing. And so should that article be taken down as disinformation because it actually says that in the long term, as plastics break down, they actually emit less CO2 than other forms of storage goods? I don't know. I mean, if the government decides, hey, war on plastics, take that article down so you can't even read about it now. This is where we go with all this stuff. And it, no, it never ends. It never ends. As long as you give the government control over information under the guise of disinformation, hate speech, whatever else, they will be politicized, weaponized, and used for an agenda. Always. Every time. When are we going to learn that? Here's Jonathan Turley talking about if Brazil can successfully block X, what it means for countries around the world, cut number 5.
So this is plan B. You know, you have in Europe threats against Musk for arrest. They've already arrested another CEO of a platform. But it's really Brazil that I think many in the anti-free speech movement are watching carefully. If Brazil can succeed in banning Twitter from the entire country, it will be replicated. Because many hold the view of what you just heard from Vice President Harris. They view speech as a privilege. It's like a driver's license that they think that can be rescinded if you're reckless. And this is the ultimate destination for this movement, where if they can't convince people to give up their own freedoms to embrace censorship, they're going to start to take sites offline to prevent people from hearing opposing views.
Mm-hmm. It's true. He's exactly right. And the problem is that you've got people like Kamala Harris who endorse all of that. Here's a flashback. Kamala Harris, this is not recent because she hasn't spoken with anybody, but this is a, when was this clip from? Do you know exactly?
I don't have the exact date, but it looked like it was probably around 2019.
2019?
President.
All right. About social media regulation. Cut 5.
He has lost his privileges, and it should be taken down. And the bottom line is that you can't say that you have one rule for Facebook and you have a different rule for Twitter. The same rule has to apply, which is that there has to be a responsibility that is placed on these social media sites to understand their power. They are directly speaking to millions and millions of people without any level of oversight or regulation. And that has to stop.
Remember what Mark Zuckerberg told Joe Rogan back in August of 2022, so over 2 years ago. Mark Zuckerberg told Joe Rogan that the FBI's warning about Russia collusion prompted the Biden laptop story censorship. What do we hear today? And this is, I'll refresh your memory on this when we get back from the break. We heard a lot about Russia collusion again. We heard a lot of the same warnings about the Russians are coming, the Russians are coming. They always use the boogeyman, whatever it is, whatever the boogeyman is, boogie person, excuse me, boogie person. They always use the boogie person to try to limit our freedom all in the name of some greater good. In this case, now they're setting us up again for something, using Russia as the impetus of that. Talk more about that straight ahead. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli as we continue along here on the show. We will be live at the Grand Hotel on Friday, and I'm excited. I can't wait to see you there, 3 to 7 p.m. And we love summer, of course, but now we're in fall, and this is a great time this September to remember at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. The Grand offers special midweek packages so you can enjoy the beach without breaking the bank. Stay 2 nights and save 10%. Stay 3 nights, get 10% off, and $55 a night in resort credits. Stay 5 nights, get 10% off, and $65 a night in resort credits that can be used at Hemingway's Restaurant for food and drinks or at the gift shop. The Grand offers guest rooms, suites, and townhomes equipped with kitchenettes, and they have 2 huge heated pools, 1 outdoor and 1 indoor. And the weather's great. The crowds are gone. The restaurants, you can get reservations. It's a lot of fun. You'll love being in Cape May this time of year. You really will. The Grand is my happy place for a reason. You will not be disappointed. So book directly with them for the best rates. Book your stay today by calling 800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800-800 857-8550, 800-257-8550, or visit them online at grandhotelcapemay.com. GrandHotelCapeMay.com. And remember, we will be live on Friday. I want to see you there. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
The dangers of censorship are so profound, obviously. You know what else is pretty profound? The dangers of a high corporate tax rate, because then businesses will leave and people will also not make investments. And yet Kamala Harris is proposing that again, because this is it's the classic thing of the evil boogeyman of corporate America and the evil boogeyman of evil price gougers and everything else, without thinking of the fact that corporations pay people money. And if you charge them overly high corporate tax rates, then they're going to hire less people, or they'll just leave the country. They'll go overseas. One of the things that Trump was able to do very successfully was lower the corporate tax rate and find a way for companies that had money parked offshore to bring back to the United States of America, pay a one-time tax on that money, but at a much lower rate, and it gave them an incentive to bring it back and make investments back in the United States of America. It was very smart to do. Democrats want to go backwards with this. Not only do they want to do unrealized capital gains on individuals, but they want to raise the corporate income tax on businesses as well. And then the capital gains tax, even on unrealized or realized gains. Scary stuff. I talked to Eric Trump about this yesterday. If you missed the interview, it is podcast for you. Kamala Harris is now proposing a lower corporate tax rate than Joe Biden. However, what she's proposing, just so you know, is actually a lower corporate tax rate than what Joe Biden has, but it's still higher than what China has, as a matter of fact. That's right. But she's prepared to break with Biden on the capital gains tax. Excuse me, the capital gains, not corporate tax rate, capital gains tax. Proposing a smaller increase, but still an increase that would be higher than what they have in China. It's hard to keep track. I mean, she's proposing corporate taxes, capital gains tax increases. She's proposing all these things. So it's hard to keep all the tax increases together. But they've been saying, and part of what James Carville wrote about in the New York Times, his advice to her was one of the things is break from Biden on something. Find a major issue and break from Joe Biden. Literally break from him on something. So Vice President Kamala Harris has proposed increasing the long-term capital gains tax rate to 28% for wealthy Americans during an economic speech in New Hampshire on Wednesday, today, breaking with the policy laid out by President Joe Biden in his 2025 budget by suggesting a lower increase. The current long-term capital gains tax rate, 20%, plus an additional 3.8% tax on higher earners, is paid when an investment is sold or gains are realized. The Biden budget proposes raising that rate to the top rate he wants to levy on ordinary income, which is close to 40% for households with taxable income over $1 million. Harris believes 39.6% is too high. So again, this is a scam. The scam being like, oh, look, I'm going to raise it really, really high. Oh, yeah, I don't like that. I'm only going to raise it really high, not really, really high. Oh, well, that's much better. No, it's not. Well, Harris still supports taxing the wealthiest individuals and corporations at higher rates, as Biden's budget calls for, and which, if I'm not mistaken, she's endorsed in the past. I mean, of course I'm not mistaken. When am I ever mistaken? She's endorsed this in the past. She believes that a lower capital gains rate would incentivize investors to put more money into startups and small businesses. Well, of course it would. So don't raise it at all. How about that? How about don't raise it at all? So now she has proposed increasing the corporate tax rate to 28%, up from the current 21% rate set by Trump's Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017. So let me explain the nuance of this, too, between capital gains and then the corporate tax rate. So obviously, the corporate tax rate is separate from capital gains, and individuals can pay capital gains, as can businesses, but the corporate tax rate, well, that's one right there. You go, oh, those greedy corporations. When it comes to capital gains, you go, oh, those rich millionaires out there. But remember, it's not just income. It's not just a salary of $1 million. It's the household income of $1 million or more. So they want to raise that rate too. Advisors said Harris supports allowing many Trump-era tax cuts for the wealthy and big corporations to lapse in favor of funding more targeted programs for families and small businesses. We have a little bit of her talking about this today, I believe, Matt, if I'm not mistaken. When am I ever mistaken? A new slogan right now. Do you have it, actually?
I do have it, yeah.
You do have it. Oh, yeah. Kamala announces her plan to tax capital gains. Take a listen.
$1 million a year or more, the tax rate on your long-term capital gains will be 28% under my plan, because we know when the government encourages investment, it leads to broad-based economic growth and it creates jobs, which makes our economy stronger.
Wow, what an enthusiastic crowd.
What Donald Trump planned, $1 million a year.
What an enthusiastic crowd. I'll tell you why. They were really, really working hard to fake it there. Harris is also, yes, unrealized capital gains as well, which I talked to Eric Trump about yesterday. Unrealized. So you haven't yet realized the gain. Think about that. That makes no sense. How am I paying taxes on something I haven't even realized the gain on? Well, they just decide. This is higher than China, what she's proposing right now. Her plan on to tax capital gains is actually at a rate higher than communist China. She'll also tax unrealized gains, expand the death tax, and add another death tax, among many other tax hikes. Those are some of the latest things that she's been pushing out there today. But a big part of this is they love to go out there and they love to turn around to people and say, we're going after those evil, greedy corporations. We're doing that. We're going after them. And those greedy, evil millionaires. This is all part of the same thing about the greed of corporate America, the greed of big grocery, the greed of big bacon, whatever it is. And this is why the left has nothing substantive to offer people. And yet, when you look at the way the Democrats are going right now, they have to make somebody the bad guy. It's always about that. It can never be their own policies, their own spending that's driven up inflation, that's made things more expensive. So it has to be somebody is the bad guy. And then what do you do to the bad guy? You punish him. You punish the bad guy. You punish the bad guy by raising their taxes. It's what you do. Matt Taibbi said it was shocking to see Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison congratulating Brazil on banning Twitter. And I'm glad he spoke to Maria Bartiromo about this. Matt Taibbi has been an incredible defender of freedom of speech. The guy deserves a medal for his work with the Twitter files. Cut number 7.
And you mentioned Tim Walz. Look, his attorney general, the attorney general of Minnesota, okay, he's serving alongside the governor and obviously vice presidential nominee Tim Walz. He wrote a thank you letter to Brazil in Portuguese on X days after the country banned the social media platform nationwide. He said, thank you, Brazil. Musk writes in response, the Democrat Party, same one that used to defend the First Amendment, now wants to destroy the First Amendment, Matt.
Yeah, and I know Keith Ellison. I interviewed him several times back in the day. I even liked him a little bit. But this is shocking. This business of congratulating a country for essentially demanding that X leave a hostage in the country so that the person could be detained if they defy their instructions on speech is really extraordinary. I mean, these are incredibly draconian and repressive laws that the country is trying to impose, and for any American politician to cheer that, it signals that they have absolutely no respect for speech rights, which is, again, so strange, Maria, because liberals, when I was growing up, our whole deal was protecting the rights of people that we even disagreed with. That was the whole point, and that whole ethos is now gone.
He continued talking about what Mark Zuckerberg, who was lied to by the FBI for political reasons. I point all this out to you because today we heard from the FBI director, Christopher Wray, and the Attorney General Merrick Garland again about Russia and Russia collusion and how the Russians are again working to interfere in the 2024 election. They didn't interfere in the 2016 election. They didn't interfere in the 2020 election. The only people that interfered in 2020 were the 51 former national intelligence hacks who lied to us to censor the Hunter Biden laptop story and lied to people so that people like Mark Zuckerberg would go along with it and censor that story. They're the only people that interfered in the election. It wasn't the Russians. The Russians didn't do a damn thing to influence the 2016 election. If you want to talk about election interference, whoever in the Hillary Clinton campaign thought it was a bright idea to ignore the Rust Belt and make the entire campaign about Donald Trump blowing up the world with nuclear weapons and calling people mean names. That person interfered with the election by running a really stupid campaign. But it wasn't the Russians. Cut number 8.
Yeah, Mark Zuckerberg last week, he sent a letter to Jim Jordan's Weaponization of Government Committee saying two really important things. I mean, kind of shocking admissions, I would say. Number one, he said in an opening paragraph that the Biden administration had been pressuring them to censor. Now, he used the word censor, which I think was critically important because that's been denied over and over again by the administration, by other companies, and he referenced the Hunter Biden story in 2020, and that was the second major revelation where he said the FBI had warned him that there was a Russian disinformation story relating to the Biden family that was coming his way, and as a result of those recommendations, they demoted the story incorrectly, he now sees in hindsight. So this is an admission that, you know, he was essentially lied to by the FBI for political reasons. I think it's an enormous story that the liberal press has ignored because it's Hunter Biden, who cares, right? But it's actually quite significant for the FBI to be acting on behalf of a political candidate.
Yeah. Well, understand exactly what would happen. You know, Kash Patel, who's been on this show before, said earlier today, he said that Amazon and Bezos, Jeff Bezos, you heard the Michael Pelka impression of that little communist surveillance machine in your home. Amazon and Bezos have a ton of government contracts. And people have to remember that, too. You know, they make a lot of the AI and a lot of technology, a lot of military contracts, too. There's not only just going after people with indictments, but also going after people by cutting off their paychecks if they don't go along with suppression of speech and if they don't go along with, well, trying to help their opponents. I think that the reality is that they were trying to help Kamala Harris until they got caught. And then they had to turn around and go, oh, we made a mistake. Oh, big mistake. We didn't mean to do that. That's exactly where that came from, obviously. That's the big story of the day brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria. VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaVanaria VanariaDental.com with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Go see him today for your perfect smile. He'll give you the smile you deserve. VanariaDental.com. This is interesting too. Matt, I was curious about this because I saw this. If this is NBC. Oh, this happened before though, right? This is Ken Delaney.
Oh yeah, that was before Garland ended up speaking.
All right. Well, how about we get Fawnie Willis, who showed up on the side of the road with her ex, Nathan Wade. I thought they broke up. Fawnie's Fanny and Nathan Wade broke
Maybe
up.
They were just in the same place at the same time by coincidence.
So body cam footage shows Willis with Wade, man who she claims she's no longer in a relationship with, on police body cam footage. Her pregnant daughter, Kenyana Willis, was arrested in Tyrone, Georgia, for driving with a suspended license last week. Now, this is Willis's pregnant daughter. Willis came under fire for her improper relationship with Special Prosecutor Nathan Wade. So they showed up together on the side of the road. Right?
Just a coincidence, I'm sure.
Do you often hang out with your ex-girlfriends?
Yeah, by the side of the road.
Yeah, just on the side of the road. Yeah. You hang out.
Why not? Yeah, who doesn't?
When one of them gets in trouble with the cops, you just happen to be with your ex?
Yeah, don't we all?
When that happens. Hey, when that happens. Just with my ex-girlfriend, one of my kids gets locked up. It's like, well, might as well go to the scene with me. And there's audio of this, too. Cut number 10.
Mom, Dad, who? What's the
plan?
Okay, okay.
All right, nice to meet you.
So,
nice to meet you. What?
So, apparently, oh.
Like me.
Apparently her license is suspended.
News to me, okay.
For something. Doesn't tell us what for, or why, or where, or that's something she's going to call DMV. Right. Probably what happened, she had a speeding ticket. Some kind of traffic crash, never went to court, didn't take care of it.
Okay.
Right. That's the best guess. So, she's gone over to Fayette County Jail, which is right in the Fayetteville Square.
Mm-hmm.
It's 145 Johnson Avenue.
Yeah.
Normally, I would...
So, she's there to intimidate, basically, with her gumata with her. Nice. Nice. I always hang out with my exes. How about you? All right, 855-839-1210. Fourth and final hour straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.